So meaning in our motion, obviously that has been screaming out at us this entire November, that we worship God with meaning. We give God praise with meaning. Amen?
Amen.
Whatever we do it with meaning. We sing with meaning. We give with meaning. Amen?
Amen.
We hug with meaning. Nothing worse than a meaningless hug. Amen. You ever, somebody came to you and they just, all right, what's up, bro? And you ain't mean, Nick. Let's run that back. And so today I want to talk about stick to the script. All right, everybody say stick to the script. I won't be long. I promise you I won't be long, but I will be strong. Everybody say stick to the script. Obviously, script is short for scripture. Stick to the scripture. 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is God-breathed. Everybody say all scripture.
All scripture.
All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness. Amen? It behooves us to know what God likes. Everybody say stick to the script. It behooves us. I've not used that word all year. I got to use it today. Y'all know it behooves, right? It's an admonishment. It behooves us to know what God likes. Instead of guessing and find ourselves genuinely wrong as we give thanks and praise and worship, it is definitely possible to be heartfelt and a little off. Amen? It's actually like this. It's like buying a friend a giant meat lover's charcuterie board. A meat sampler, to be specific, the charcuterie board with all the meats. Amen. And so he's like, bro, we've been friends all this long. And you didn't know I was vegan now. I'm vegan. Why you buy me this charcuterie board that's got all this meat? Love without knowing what someone actually likes can miss the mark. Can we also dig deep in why you really wanted me to open the charcuterie board around you anyway? Is it so you can enjoy some of the charcuterie board? Did you buy the charcuterie board for you, or did you buy the charcuterie board for me? It's actually like a kid. It's so sweet. This is so sweet, guys. It's like a little seven-year-old. He buys his dad a new toy truck and looks so sweet and innocent, right? Hey, Daddy, this is a new fire truck, a little toy fire truck for you, until you realize the kid spends the next hour saying, Daddy, do it like this. Open the back like this. You got to do it like this. Give it to me, Daddy. Do it like this. Did he buy that truck for his daddy? Or did he buy the truck? Did he really get the truck for his daddy so he can play with it? Sometimes what we call worship is more about what we like than what God asks for. It's even like this. Love my mother in love. I love my mother in love. Amen. You guys love your in-laws. It's like the candle you thought smelled good. You thought it smelled good, and you bought your mother in love or your mother in law, your in law, whoever, your loved one, you bought them a candle, not knowing or ignoring, because you got it on Black Friday. You got it on Black Friday because it was on sale. But you to the person you bought the candle, to you it smelled good because you smelled sale. But to the recipient, they smell a wet dog because they got allergies. Something so important, so detailed, that you bought them a candle that smelled like a wet dog, and they got allergies, and they can't enjoy it. Look at somebody and say, were you listening? Were you listening? Was I listening when my mother-in-law said, I got bad allergies. I don't know why you bought me this. I'm going to give it back to you. Everybody say, are we listening? Are we listening to God when we read the script? It's all spelled out. It's spelled out. Everybody say, stick to the script. Stick to the script. There's a lot of opinions going around these days. A lot of people are coming up with stuff, conjuring up stuff, coming up with answers that are not biblical. Everybody say, just stick to the script. Even this Thanksgiving season, God, how do you want us to give you thanks? Everybody say, stick to the script. What should we do? Should we give turkeys? Should we give out tracts? Should we give out turkeys? Should we give out free plates? Everybody say, stick to the script. In Leviticus, I don't know if you guys remember, maybe a year or two ago, we did a study, a short study in Leviticus. And Leviticus is a prime example of sticking to the script and why we should stick to the script. Everybody say, stick to the script. Speaking of sticking to the script, I want to tell this story because I think it's, I don't know if I have the picture up here, but if you guys didn't realize, living this Christian life, we are performing. It's a performance to an audience of one. I'm on a stage. You're on a stage. Eventually, we're going to be judged by how we what? Perform. You guys know I'm a decent pianist. Amen. I'm okay, right? Okay, come on, y'all be nice. And so there was this pianist that was doing a performance. Everybody say performance. He was doing this performance, and he was killing it. And this is the guy right here. And so at the end of the performance, he went through the piece. He performed, and everybody gave him a standing ovation, a round of applause, similar to what you guys are going to do. Okay. He went off to the side, and he started crying. You played. I said, bro, you killed it. Why are you crying? He said, you played the mess out of that piano. He said, why are you crying? And then the guy complimented the guy and said, you were standing up playing. You were standing up, bro. He said, you know what? I was standing up, but actually, you enjoyed my performance. But my master on the side, my teacher, was not impressed with my performance. You were impressed with me standing up playing, but my master actually said you were supposed to be sitting down. First of all, you're standing up playing. That's not a sign of humility. You're showboating. Y'all remember that word? Y'all know what that means. You're showboating, sir. Your performance impressed everybody else, but it's not what your master taught you. It's not what he instructed you to do. You added to the performance, to the script. In Leviticus, is some say it's probably the most important book in the Bible. In Leviticus, and the Lord said occurs about 56 times in Leviticus. And the Lord said, and the Lord said. So if and the Lord said, he has given us a script. He is telling us exactly what we like. Amen. Leviticus is a book where the Lord is doing most of the talking. And if God is talking, we should be listening, amen? And if he's listening, we really should be taking notes. We should be taking notes and writing down what he's saying. Everybody say, stick to the script. And so in Leviticus chapter 1, God wants Israel to bring him an offering a certain way. Everybody say, a certain way. A certain way. In verse 2, I know it's not up here, but in Leviticus chapter 1, verse 2, it says, speak unto the children of Israel and say to them, if any man of you bring an offering unto me, unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd. I do have handouts for you guys, so we can get those out. And you guys can fill in here. If any man of you bring an offering unto the Lord, ye shall bring your offering of the cattle, even of the herd and of the flock. Leviticus 1. God wants it a certain way. Everybody say, stick to the script. And as the handouts are coming out, everybody say, a certain way. Stick to the script. I'll read this. Leviticus 1. Chapter 1, verse 6, and he shall flay the burnt offering and cut it into pieces. Do you guys see that? A certain way. And the sons of Aaron, the sons of who? The sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire upon the altar and lay the wood in order upon the fire. Everybody say, in order. Everybody say, stick to the script. Sons shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, how? in order upon the wood that is on the fire, which is upon the altar. Leviticus chapter 1, verse 9. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. And the priest shall burn all on the altar to be a burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire of what? So in other words, when you do it God's way, God is going to be pleased. Our goal with whatever we give to God is for God to see what we give him or to smell or to accept what we give him as a sweet savior in his nose, in his nostrils. So when we do it, when we stick to the script, the end result is God saying, man, you smell good. And it's interesting, prophetically, I said, you guys smell good when I started. We want the end result to be God saying, you smell good. Everybody say, do I smell good? Do I smell good? If you stick to the script, you will eventually smell good to God. Boy, Alfie's want to smell good to God. My younger brother just came out with a cologne. It's called And Something. Anderson, And Something. He has a coffee line and coffee. But this cologne, he's like, I'm going to give you some. He's home for the holidays. He's going to give me some. And I'm not really much of a cologne guy. I'm not, but I'm probably going to wear it and see if it smells good. If it doesn't, I'm going to tell him. But why did he put all this money and this effort in and this cologne line? Obviously, my dad is an entrepreneur, and that's a generational blessing. Amen. But outside of that, why do we wear cologne? Why do we want people to smell us and say, you smell good? What are y'all wearing? What are you wearing? House of Judah red carpet. What are you wearing? What are you wearing? All natural. All natural. Man, that saved you some money. Man, Alpheus Bartholomew Anderson wants to hear God say, well done, a.k.a. you smell good. Your life was sweet. Amen? Your life was sweet. When I tell you the details, if I just stop talking for 20 seconds and let us just muse on this text, it is very simple, but it's very detailed, and it's very scripted. Everybody say scripted. We don't have to miss the mark when we have the Word of God, the Holy Writ, the law. Amen? We have what he said in the Old Testament and the New Testament. We don't have to miss it. Everybody say stick to the script. Look how God wants you to offer up the sacrifice to him, the sacrifices to him. I mean, just to rewind just a little bit, cut it into pieces. So what if we don't cut it into pieces? God's going to say, that ain't sweet, bro. What if we do not do this in a certain order, in order upon the wood? What if we skip a step? God's going to say, that ain't sweet. But his inwards and his legs shall he wash in water. We wash it in vinegar. God's going to say, that ain't sweet. And the priest shall burn what? What if we leave some? What if some left over? What if some of the sacrifices left over? It ain't sweet. Why it's not sweet, guys? He wants it a certain way. God has spoken to us to do some things in this room. Are we listening? Are we listening? It's like this. My mom just turned 75. Y'all listen to the details because I surely got them wrong. I got them wrong. I feel bad right now. You're going to think I'm a good son, but my mom said, for my 75th birthday, I want 75 cards by my birthday. Y'all hear the details? She said, on my birthday, I want in my hand 75 birthday cards. She said, you can have some money in it, or you can put a gift card, or you can handwrite something, but I want 75 cards in the mail when? By her 75th birthday. About 3 days before her birthday, I was on the phone with her. And, hey, Mom, if we're streaming. I know we're streaming. She ain't watching. We got closer to her birthday, and she was like, Alfie's only got 3 cards. I got 5 kids, and I only got 3 cards. in the mail. It's like, mama, chill out. Mama, you being picky. Like, mama, you being Hollywood. She said, I want 75. I said, mama, you know I'm taking you to Ruth Chris on your birthday. And I did. I took her to Ruth Chris. And not only that, I sent a car to go get her because she don't like to drive at night with her best friend. The car went to her best friend's house, and then it went to her house to get my mama. 75, you only 75 once. Then I rushed to Ruth Chris. I had a red carpet. I rolled out the red carpet. When she got out the car, it was about a 20-foot red carpet. She didn't even walk on her. I know, that's what I thought. And she got out the car. She didn't even walk on a red carpet. because she obviously has a cane. I'm saying obviously, but my mom has a cane. And she said, that red carpet over there, but I'm gonna trip up. So she said, I'm going to go over here by the rail so I can hold on to the rail. And then she put her foot over. She said, I get a little piece of the red carpet. And she walked in the room, Chris. She said, because she know I went through all this effort. And then the day before we went to my cousin, another one of her good friends, took him out to brunch. That's 2 days worth of showering her with blessings. But honestly, at this moment, Lex reminded me that you still have not mailed your mama what she wanted. Everybody say, stick to the script. And still to this day, all of that money spent, all of that effort, those arrangements, in my mind, man, I killed it. But to this day, I still have not mailed my mama a card. now you say, oh, now you like, bro, you missed the mark. That's how God looking at some of us. You doing all of this. You doing that. That's not what I asked you to do. Why are you even doing that? My mama wanted 75 cards before her birthday. Context. One of her best friends passed away at 76. She also asked her family members to give her 76 cards by her birthday. This young lady did not make it to see 76. As a matter of fact, she got 76 cards, but the cards were put in the casket. My mama wanted 70. When I tell you, I need to stop on Amazon something real quick. when you have context, amen. That's my. You have to know my mom. That's her love language. My mom's love language is quality time and gifts. But with that context, you understand why she wanted 75 cards before or by her birthday in the mail. Everybody say love languages. Everybody say love languages. Gary Chapman, if you want to write it down, Gary Chapman is the author of 5 Love Languages. And he basically, I guess he was a pastor. I read somewhere that he came up with these 5 love languages from his years of marriage. Here's a short version of the 5 love languages by Gary Chapman. Number 1, words of affirmation. Number 2, acts of service. Number 3, receiving gifts, 5 love languages. Number 4, quality time. Number 5, a physical touch, basically affection through appropriate physical connection. 5 love languages. 1, words of affirmation. If I come down to your love language, just kind of raise your hand. I just want to see where you stand, where you land. 5 love language, words of affirmation. If you like when people compliment you, say, good job. And you wearing that. Number 2, acts of service. It really just blesses you on another level when somebody does something. Some actions that help or support you. Me. Receiving gifts. Is that your love language? Quality time. Y'all raise your hand on everything. Physical touch. Affection through appropriate physical connection. Gary Chapman says this is the idea. The idea is that relationships improve when people understand and speak each other's love language. Man, I missed it. I know I missed it. My mom, though, is, even though I didn't send her one of those cards, man, she thanked me every day. She said, Alpheus, every single day, she thanked me. She said, you did this. You didn't have to do this. She said, I have some good kids, but you, Alpheus, you're my favorite. She said, I have some really good kids. Because honestly, she appreciated what I did for her, but I have a brother that's very well known, and he probably, because of his influence, she probably got 120 cards just by his influence from people across the country. And those cards were loaded with stuff. I mean, chocolates and flowers. The cards came with stuff. And I'm hearing her saying, Alpheus, you my favorite. But I'm hearing her really praising what she really wanted. Sometimes we think, so I wonder sometimes do we think that we're God's favorite because we do X, Y, Z. And God is really, really responding to the people that stick to the script. Everybody say stick to the script. Anthropomorphically speaking, we should dig into what is God's love language. What is his love language? Anthropomorphically speaking, meaning it's the best we can do. Now, does God have a love language? Does God like gifts? Does he want to be held? I mean, so when I say anthropomorphically, I mean, we're just basically putting human characteristics on a powerful, spaceless, timeless God. I mean, that's the best we can do. When we're trying to describe God and try to figure this thing out, it's the best we can do. So I'm not limiting God to these human categories. Just trying to just, what is God's love language? And I'll tell you this and I'll be done. It's Romans 12:1. A living sacrifice. We have it on the screen. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. This is God's love language. This is the script. Everybody say, stick to the script. I beseech you therefore, brethren. Now our ears should just go, woo. Woo. All right. I'm listening. I'm all ears. I'm taking notes. By the mercies of God that ye present your bodies a what? A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your what? Which is your what? Reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's almost like, man, how are we going to worship God mindlessly? It seemed like the past few weeks we cannot get away from the mind. Amen. That ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. A living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is our reasonable service. His love language. Holy and acceptable, which is what? Is your what? Write it down. Reasonable service. Reasonable includes the word what? Reason. Reason, which is your reasonable service. What do I mean? Our service to God is logical. Everybody say logical. Actually, reasonable service, the word reasonable, comes from a Greek word. And obviously, I don't speak Greek. My name is Greek. Alpheus is Greek. But this is the best I can do. I'll give you the transliteration. It's logikos. Everybody say logikos. Which is your logikos. Everybody say logikos. Sounds like logic, right? The usage here is a rational, spiritual service. Your worship that is rational and spiritual. Your worship that is thoughtful, which is your reasonable, logical service. It's pertaining to the mind or reason. Your reasonable servant, reason. Come, let us what together? Come, let us what? Reason, which is your reasonable service. Come, let us worship together. Deeply aligned with truth. This is how I remember logikos. That ye may prove and be not be conformed to this world, but which is your reasonable service. Your rational worship. Write that down. Your rational worship. Everybody say rational. Please don't get thrown off by this. This seems like it may be emotionless, but just stick with me for about 1 minute and I'll be finished. Which is your reasonable, your rational worship. Write this down. Your spiritual service. Your logical act of worship. How without your mind? There's no way. There's no way we can worship God without logicals, without our mind. There's no way. Write this down. Logicals, which is reasonable service, does not mean this, because we can't get it twisted. Logicals is not this worship that feels reasonable to me. This is not logicals. Logicals is not practical. Your reasonable service is not practical. Logicals is not common sense. It's not common sense. Logicals is not reasonable in the casual English sense. It's not casual. It's just not casual. Your reasonable service. Logicals. Your mind, we already know from a couple of weeks ago, that our mind is very complex. Our mind is active. Our mind should be active in worship. Amen? Our mind should be active when we give him thanks. Logicals is not making sense emotionally. Please hear what I just said. Logicals, your reasonable service, is not making sense emotionally. Let me tell you what I mean by that, because how do you respond in your emotions to his grace and his mercy? You catch me on the right day, I'll tear this church up. Logicals is not making sense emotionally. You catch me on the right day, my bottom lip is quivering and somebody's cutting onions. Logicals is not making sense emotionally. You catch me on the right day, I'm just looking like I'm crazy, but I'm sitting there just shaking my head at the goodness of God. Which is your because what's happening when I think of the goodness of Jesus? So that's logicals. I'm thinking it affects my emotions. I mean, I'm sitting there and I'm just doing this. I mean, I really honestly do it all the time. If I think about it, I just go through the house. I just go through life and I have these pause moments, these Selah moments of just, Anybody else have some of those? Romans 12:1. I'm going to end with this. When we read this in the NIV version, we've already read it. Romans 12:1 says, the NIV version is, it almost caused me to rename today's teaching, especially when I talked to one of you guys in this room, this obviously, and I almost mentioned this, but I didn't name it. Obviously, today is stick to the script, but you'll see why I almost renamed it what I'm about to lift here in a second. Romans 12:1, NIV version says, read it with me. Ready, set, go. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's what? Mercy. To offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Everybody say, in view. I almost named today's teaching a rear view Thanksgiving, or a rear view perspective Thanksgiving, because when you read it in the NIV, it says, in view of God's mercy, then this should happen. Everybody say, rear view. Take 20 seconds and look in your, in its pure sense, in your mind's eye of how God has been good to you. It's like a rear view mirror. You're looking back, but in view and notate in your mind God's mercy. In view of God's mercy. Just take 20 seconds. You're probably going to make a sound. You're probably going to say, You're probably going to say, thank you, God. Or at least in your spirit. In view of God's mercy, what should happen? Logicals, when I think of the what? The goodness of Jesus. Logicals. This is thankfulness from a redeemed believer. Logikos, in view of God's mercy. It's, I said this a couple of weeks ago, metanoia thanksgiving. It's basically from a renewed mindset. A renewed mindset, not necessarily repenting because something is wrong, you did something wrong, but you're just reframing perhaps your worship and your praying, how you next season is going to go to another level because metanoia, you are reframing how you are responding to God because you're sticking to the script. Everybody say stick to the script. Because in Romans 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 is the view. 11 chapters is the view. Does that make sense? That's why the scripture can say, in view of God's mercy. In view of Romans chapter 1, in view of Romans chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. So Romans chapter 1 through 11 is explaining what God has done for us, but chapter 12 is depicting or explaining what we should do for God. Does that make sense? 11 chapters. So let's take a little time to enjoy the view, and I'm done. Let's take a little time to enjoy the view, all right? Because this should trigger a reasonable service. What is the Greek word for reasonable? Come on, shout it out. Logikos. This should trigger a reasonable service. This is not like mindless thanksgiving. We should never be silent because in view of God's mercy, let's take a little time to enjoy the view. Y'all ready? Romans 1:16 talks about the power of God unto salvation. How are you going to respond to that? Come on, give God praise. How are you going to respond to that? In view of God's mercy, Romans 3. It talks about the righteousness of God by faith. How do we respond to that? Romans 8. The Spirit helps our sicknesses, our infirmities. How do we respond to God's mercy on our bodies, His grace on our bodies? Romans 12:1. In view of God's mercy. Romans 6. Sin shall not have dominion over me. How do you respond to that? When you look in the rearview mirror. Romans 3, we're justified by grace. We're justified freely by grace in view of God's mercy. How do you respond to that? Romans 8, nothing shall separate us from the love of God. How do you respond to that? Back to that scripture, sweets, and I'll do a hard stop. It says, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, this is your true and proper worship. Everybody say, stick to the script. Hallelujah. Clap your hands if you enjoyed this teaching. Amen. Told you I wouldn't be long today. Got time to spare. I don't know what's your favorite. We all have a jump on the keyboard right now. He said, come on, don't threaten me with no good time. that's what he blessed me with. That's what, everybody say life. Everybody say life. That's what he blessed me with. He blessed me for some reason, I don't know why, with the ability to present music, to play music, to create music. Everybody say life. Everybody say life. That's what the E in life, that's what he endowed me with. What has God endowed you with? What has he endowed you with? Are you using what he has endowed you with to give him glory? Is every inch of my gift to play music, to write music, to create music, is every inch of that giving him glory? Everybody say life. Everybody say stick to the script. Alpheus, what should I be doing with my gift? What should I be doing with my life? Everybody say stick to the script. man, what should I be doing with the smarts that God gave me? With this ability to just bring joy wherever I go. It's some brilliant people in this room, downstairs and upstairs. I mean, some brilliant people in this room. What do we do with that? Everybody say life. Everybody say life. Obviously, the I in life is intellect. Everybody say intellect. Everybody say intellect. We know the E in life is what we have been endowed with. What are we doing with that? What about our intellect? Your reasonable service, logikos. Bible says, love the Lord with your what? Your mind, your heart, your soul, your mind. What are we doing with our intellect? Everybody say life. Life. L, life, obviously. I, intellect. Love the Lord with all of your mind. Matthew 22. Intellect. We as Christians, we don't check our brain at the door because we're Christians and it's all emotion. Amen. That's why we go so viral on social media. I may look like a fool, but I'm gonna sound like a scholar. Everybody say, look like a fool and sound like a scholar. It looks foolish to do this for a reason. And I tell you what God has done for me, and you say, man, that's so illogical, but that's so logical. And God gets the credit. That's scholarly, amen? When I shabak, when I say hallelujah, that's a holler. But there's scholarship behind my hollership. That makes sense? Because there's something in my heart, there's something in my mind, there's something in my soul. Amen? Everybody say life. Everybody say life. We got to stick to the script in life. Even in your feelings. Everybody say feelings. Feelings. His praises shall what? Continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. That's your, obviously, we've been on this for a couple of weeks. That's your subconscious. That's your non-conscious. My soul. Everybody say feelings. Bless the Lord, oh my what? Oh my soul, my feelings. And all that is within me. Bless his what? Holy name. Everybody say life. You guys can stand. Because I'm done early, I'm feeling weird. We got to get out of here. Amen. I heard somebody in spirit say, you wasn't long. I mean, you weren't short. Short to you. Everybody say life. Stick to the script. Stick to the script. We're going to get out of here. Y'all guys, lift your hands. Lift your hands. And just bless the Lord for a couple of seconds. Logikos, your reasonable service. Get your mind active. I used to be that way. The worship leader would say, hey, come on, let's worship God. And I go to this, I don't know what I would go to. But it is okay to replay a testimony. Replay a testimony. Replay a time when you were at rock bottom. Run that thing back. In view, Romans 12:1, NIV version says, in view of God's mercies, we present our body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable, which is your logikos, your reasonable service. Now when the worship leader say, come on, give God praise, I am thinking on the goodness of Jesus. I'm thinking, man, he did that. How in the world did I get here? That causes you to say hallelujah, or to lift your hands even higher, or to give, or to share, or to create, or whatever it is God has endowed you to do in view of God's mercies. Thank you for your son, Jesus. Thank you for the birth, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus. As we leave here today, let us always remember how you have set this thing up, how you have revealed, and you are continually to reveal yourself to us when we read your word. Lead us to the right script for this season in our lives. Lead us to the right script. Lead us to the right script in this season. There's no way we can live the next decade without the script. So many people in the world dishonor your script, but in this room, we thank you for the Word of God. We thank you for the holy writings. We thank you for the law. We thank you for your spirit. We thank you for how you have set this thing up. Yes, if we be honest, we do not understand how this thing is going to play out, but we know according to your word that we have the victory, that we win, you reign, and the devil is defeated. Stick with that. We're going to stick to the script. Keep us safe when we leave here. We know that we are protected because the script says so.